So it's already been introduced this morning. Today is Easter. Roscoe, I think, said in 15 minutes what I might end up spending 45 on. But we'll try to, I think I have a little different angle than what he had. But thanks, Rob, for your devotions this morning. I thought it was, I should have thought about it, could have happened. But today we remember and celebrate our risen Lord and Master. Jesus lives. He is risen. He is not dead. He is here. He is back again. But before he got to the point of the Easter, Jesus suffered and died. And that came first. Today, many modern Christians like to think about Easter morning. It's a big deal. And Easter's exciting. And it is. It's something Jesus did for us. And he lives. He's given power to me. It's God did something for me, for me, for me. But you know where the practice, you know where this starts looking at? It's all about what I get out of Easter. It's about me. But Easter's not about me. It was done for me. But it's to bring glory to God. A lot of emphasis is put on Easter. And the people will stop and consider Easter. But you know, Good Friday, it's a new concept. The people, or not everyone takes off work on Good Friday. And we have, in our company, we have for years. Because we had church on Good Friday. And we don't have that anymore. But I hired a guy. One of the guys I hired said, we're closed on Good Friday. He looked at me and goes, that's interesting. He said, it's been a long time since I heard of that actually happening. But it's part of the weekend. It's part of the package. We can't have one without the other. So this morning I titled my message, The Power of the Resurrection. And I want to start with looking at Colossians chapter 3. So you get me your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ in God. So I present you the question, I present to you the option this morning of if. If ye then be risen. You know, this is not forced upon us. It doesn't say you shall be risen. It doesn't say that if you're a Christian, instantly you're going to be risen with Christ. It's an option. If ye then be risen with Christ, something's going to change. So it's fun to choose. It's exciting to choose the power of the resurrection because it's new life. It's a changed spirit. It's freedom. But by choosing the resurrection, we choose other things first. And that's what I want to look at the story of Jesus. I want to look at the story of the crucifixion from Mark. And think about the steps to get to the resurrection. Because in order to have an end, in order to get to the resurrection, in order to get to resurrection in our lives, there's a process we must go through first. Just like Jesus did. I want to look at the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection and think about how that applies to us in our lives. Because as Colossians says, if we are risen with Christ, something's going to change in our lives. So turn with me to Mark chapter 14. And we're going to read most of the story, some of it in segments. But choosing resurrection, point number one, if we're going to choose resurrection, the first thing in our lives is we're going to choose submission to God. So if we look at Mark chapter 14, verse 32, we have the story starts. We obviously know what happened before this. That happened in the upper room. But in Mark chapter 14, verse 32, and they came to the place which is named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Jesus wrestled in the garden. Jesus knew what was going to happen in the future. Jesus knew that he was going to be resurrected in the glory of God. Jesus came from the Father, and he sought to go back to the Father. He knew the glory that awaited him. But the first thing in the garden, he got exceedingly heavy and sorrowful. The first thing he needed to do was submit to the plan of God. This is the very thing Jesus came to the earth for. This was not a change of plans. This was what Jesus was born for. Jesus knew what he was going to face when he was born. And all through his life, he headed this way, but he got to this final time before a lot of suffering, he had to submit again to the will of the Father. And I think about how many times in our own lives, if we're going to choose the power of the resurrection, we also must choose to submit to God. We must choose to submit to God's plan when we don't know what God's plan is. Just as Jesus wrestled to accept, we also at times will wrestle to accept the unknowns. We don't know. Jesus knew, but we don't. And we cannot, just as Jesus in the garden sweated drops of blood and very sorrowful, we cannot enter into a path of submission with strings attached. Submission is chosen first, and then we're shown the path. So many times we'll say, well, I'll submit if. Show me what I got to do, then I'll choose. But just as Jesus in the garden laid down his life and says, I submit. I wanted another way, Lord. And the Lord says, no, this is the way it's going to be. He said, but not as I will, but as thou wilt. When we have the power of the resurrection, when we choose the resurrection power, we will choose submission. Jesus could only face the whole death because he had this battle first. And when he was submitted, he saw the end before the beginning. So we also can see our end by faith. We can see our end before the beginning. And we can know what we can attain, what we can get, if we choose submission. Point number two, choosing resurrection also chooses rejection. I want to start reading here in verse 43. Mark 14, verse 43. And immediately while he yet spake, backing up a little bit, the disciples kept falling asleep on him. And he said, so why don't you watch with me a little bit? And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, with him a great multitude, and swords and staves, and from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders, and he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto him, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And then they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even to the palace of the high priest, and sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bare false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. So neither did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? And he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and other, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Christ of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. And he went out unto the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And after a little while, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he thought thereupon and wept. And straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered unto him, thou sayest it. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so Pilate was marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which had lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. And Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, what will ye then that I should do with him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, why? What evil has he done? And they cried out more exceedingly, crucify him. So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and began to salute him, hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mixed with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusations was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucify two thieves, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocked and said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And it was the sixth hour come. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When we choose the power of the resurrection, we will choose rejection in this world. If we go down through this story, just think about how many people rejected Jesus. It started out in verses 44 and 45. Judas, one of the 12, one of the people that Jesus had close to him all the time, betrayed Jesus with a kiss. He was one of the men that Jesus taught. He was one of the men that Jesus specifically called. And he come back to the group through a kiss. The kiss of betrayal. But to the people around him, he looked at them and it was a little bit like, I'm back now, Master. I was gone, but I'm back now. Because we know from John 13, verses 29, that it says, some thought because Judas had the bag, that whenever he left, Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we need against the feast. So the other guys in the group thought that Judas was just coming back. But he come back and he betrayed his master. Rejection. In verse 50, it says that all forsook him. Everyone else around Jesus forsook him. It was even though just before this, Peter had struck in defense one of the soldiers. But whenever the going got tough, Peter also ran away. In verses 55 to 65, effort was made to find reason to kill him. This man, this innocent man who taught in the temple, was rejected by everyone else in the temple. And they tried finding reasons to kill him just constantly. They tried to find something that would stick. And the only thing left, they finally had to find false accusation and take the words that he did say and twist them around to make him condemning. In verse 63, whenever Jesus was asked a question, and he answered the question presented, it was once again twisted and rejected. And then we have in verses 66 to 72, whereas we have the story of Peter, where Peter rejected Jesus. And he didn't say it one time, but he said it three times. It was the same Peter who struck out and defended. It was the same Peter who was the noisiest whenever Jesus went to wash the feet. It was the same Peter that says, even though everyone else be offended of you, I will always be with you. And it was this close friend that when asked about it, said, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know who you're talking about. He got angry about it. He cussed and swore and said, I don't know. I have no connection here. And Jesus saw it. Absolute rejection. In chapter 15, we see that he was traded for a murderer. Rejection. Constant rejection by the very people he came to save. He was traded for a murderer and the only thing Jesus had hurt was people's egos and the power and their power and control. But instead, they wanted a man released that had killed people and risen up to cause accusations. And they wanted a common murderer released instead of someone who had done no harm. We have the soldiers, they mocked him. They dressed him up and mocked him, spat on him, beat him. It says that they worshipped him, but it was in mockery. And then when Jesus is on the cross, in verses 29 to 32, when Jesus was on the cross bearing the sins for all men, even the passerbys, the one that saw this in first place, reviled him and mocked him. Those who were crucified with him rejected him. And we know from the other account that one of the malefactors repented. And then in verse 34, it's Jesus hanging on the cross. The whole world had forsaken him. And Jesus felt alone. And he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus at that time felt forsaken by all. He even felt forsaken by God the Father. Absolute rejection because Jesus chose resurrection. We want the power of resurrection. Are we ready to face rejection? We too will face rejection if we choose resurrection power. Because in 1 Peter 4:4 it says, they will think it's not strange. They will think it's strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot. The people that we are around in this earth will think we're strange. They may reject us because we chose the power of resurrection. We may not face the same rejection as some do in this world, but following God will cause rejection from those of an earthly mind. Nominal Christians in this world systems can't understand why we do what we do. They say, we're Christians too. You go to the jury, you called for jury duty. And people say, well, why don't you serve? I mean, the judge will call themselves a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian. But where are we? I work with a man who's a Baptist. He's a very proud veteran. And he don't understand when I say that we're non-resistant, I cannot support military. He don't understand that. He's a Christian too. Just go ask him. But you know, we will face rejection. When we choose the power of the resurrection in our lives, we will face rejection. Maybe even those closer to us in faith may reject us whenever we let the resurrection power change our lives. Maybe there's opportunities for occupations that we will draw lines against and say we will not serve there, we will not work there. Because there's a difference inside of us. Possibly even our friends will reject us. Maybe there will be times whenever in your life, in your conscience, there's things you will stand against and nobody else will. Not saying they're all wrong, but in your life, the resurrection power in your life will make you stand for things because of the power of God inside you. Maybe when we choose to believe the whole Bible, even parts that don't make sense all the time to us, people may reject us and say, well, you don't need to go to that extreme. I mean, why are you going to that extreme? If we're choosing the power of resurrection, something's going to change. And it's going to make a huge difference in our life. Rejection is also going to be expected. In Mark chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, it says, Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. There's power there. But before we get to the resurrection, we will first be rejected. Number three, choosing resurrection requires death. This is progressive. We had submission, we had rejection, now we're going to die. Back to Mark chapter 15. Let's continue reading there at verse 35. And when some of them stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let us see whether Elias will come and take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost and said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And there was also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, the less, and of Joses, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which were come up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when even had come, because it was preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly to Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, for he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulcher, which was hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, beheld where he was laid, dead. Jesus had to fully die. He died and he was buried. At the time, people wondered if Elias would come and take him down. They didn't understand what he said. But Jesus needed to die. He needed to entirely die. Not just a shadow death, not just a coma. He was dead. It was over. The body of Jesus on the cross was lifeless. And Pilate was amazed and he said, really, already? Normally crucifixions took 12 plus hours. This was 6 hours. Really, did he die? But Jesus was dead. And it's important that we believe that. That Jesus died entirely. There was no life in them. And they laid him in a tomb in the earth, and people saw this and wept. His bodily life was over. Their friend, in the way they related to him, was dead. Dead. It was over. It was something in the past now. His comfort, his presence and his comfort, it was dead. It was gone. It was over. It was no more. His powerful words and his teaching, it was dead. They saw him. They saw them put Joseph in the tomb. Being able to look forward to see Jesus occasionally when he passed by, it was dead. It was over. Things had changed. They saw him die. Every way everyone related to Jesus was dead. It was over. There was only two options left. Either people were weeping because they missed him, or they rejoicing because he was absent. So just like Jesus needed to fully die, if we're going to experience the power of resurrection, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. But he that dieth, he dieth unto sin. But in that he dieth, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, and whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And then, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and to end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we reckon our bodies, we must reckon our bodies of sin crucified. We must die. We must die to sin and die to self, just as Jesus died on the cross. He that is dead to sin will be free from sin. And we must die completely to sin. It's a choice we make. We want the power of the resurrection. We want the power to feel good. We want the power to move on with life. But are we willing to die to self and die to sin and give it up? Verses 11 to 14, when we choose the power of the resurrection, we will consider ourselves dead to sin, and it will no longer have dominion over us. This might sound like extreme moves, and it is an extreme move. But just as Jesus needed to die to be able to be resurrected, we cannot have new life until we die. What our old selves will die, the way people relate to us, the way people see us, will die. It needs to change. Because we wish for an easy transformation. You know, I'm doing my thing, and I just, you know, just we pray that God would just modify us a little bit. Because there's a lot of things I still want, and I really don't want to change that much, but you know, I want to be resurrected. But we cannot be resurrected unless we are willing to die. And let the way people see us, the way people understand us, the way what we desire, what we want, just die. It's over. Just as all the people that saw Jesus, they thought it was over and it was dead. It was. But they didn't know what was coming. When we choose resurrection, choosing resurrection is life and power beyond earthly bounds. Turn with me to John chapter 20. The people saw them put Jesus in the tomb. The people saw everything that happened. This man was living when he hung him on the cross. And he died and he buried him. And it's over. And there was nothing left. But John chapter 20, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they had laid him. And Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And the disciples went away again unto their own home. And Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seek thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, there were the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in their midst, and said unto him, Peace saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad, and they saw the when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever's sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen, but yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name. Jesus was victorious over death. They saw him crucified, they saw him hanging, they saw him buried, and now he was missing. Jesus could have power now that Jesus did not have when he was bound in his earthly body. He could hide himself in plain sight. He could pass through closed doors. He was not limited, but he was able to show up at any place at any time. He was not limited, but he was not no longer limited by weakness and tiredness, weariness. Jesus was risen. He was glorified. He had the wounds from his death. He still had the marks on his hands and the sore in his side. But it was no longer bleeding, and it was no longer painful, but it was still there. Jesus rising from the dead created an opportunity for a new relationship with man than what they had before. Because in John chapter 16, we have Jesus telling the disciples earlier, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then in verse 13 it says, Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. When Jesus died and Jesus was resurrected, it released the power of the Holy Spirit to come unto man. Just as we talked about earlier, everything that people knew about Jesus in the relationship, the way they related with Jesus, had died. They did not realize that Jesus was coming back with more power. The relationship had totally changed. Jesus now was living inside of man. Jesus' power was available anytime at any place, because there was resurrection power. There was power over death, power over mortal man, power over the earth. It was a new power brought into life. The tables, no longer did man need atonement for sin on an annual basis. Sin and death were defeated. God Almighty had arrived and the powers of darkness had lost their grip. The tables had totally turned. No longer were those who were weeping at Jesus' death were now rejoicing in his life. And they can rejoice forevermore because Jesus lives forevermore. And the same token, those who were rejoicing at his death were now weeping because Jesus was more powerful than what he thought. And they will weep forevermore unless they choose to worship. So like us also, when we choose the resurrection power, when we die to self and sin, when we choose that we want the new power in Jesus, and we will have rejection and we will have death, but there's a new life that is inside that Jesus can raise up. We will have a new outlook. We will have a new vision. People will see us as the same people, but we will have a different relationship, a different concept in life. Because we have the resurrection power in us. In closing, choosing the power of the resurrection, we will no longer fear the second death. We can choose resurrection power and we can choose death today. Or we can choose life today and we can choose death later. It's your choice. But if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. If ye then be risen, we will die. We will submit. We will be rejected. We will die, but we will live forever. Let's kneel.